today I'm going to finish the series we've been doing called Poles Apart, Part 8. And in this series, what we've been doing is we've been looking at pairs of biblical words that might on the first sight just appear to be straight opposites. But what we've been doing is making sure we understand them and talking about them, because a lot of them are things that we sort of assume people understand. But we've recognised that we've had a lot to learn on this series about them ourselves. So we started with God and Satan. We then had heaven and hell, light and darkness, justification and sin, judgment and mercy. We had the Son of God and Son of Man. We had servant and king. And our last one in this series, although I have to say there are many more we could have done, our last one is life and death. Life and death. So there you go. This is your last chance to see my introductory slide. The one of the polar bears roasting a penguin, which is clearly not valid. It doesn't work because polar bears come from the North Pole. Penguins come from the South Pole. And you will never see a polar bear next to a penguin unless it's in a zoo. The reality is they are poles apart. And today we're going to discuss how life and death are also poles apart. So my first slide today is getting death out of the way. Now, my wife said to me this morning, what are you going to talk about today? I said, life and death. She said, oh, that sounds joyous. Well, you know, I want to talk about death for about 30 seconds, really, because, you know, death, it was never, ever part of God's plan. Do you know something? We concentrate too much on Genesis chapter 3. What happened in Genesis chapter 3? The fall of man. Man is tempted to sin, to eat the fruit of the tree, the one fruit of the one tree that God said, you mustn't go near it. And it was the only boundary that God put in Adam and Eve's lives. It was the only one. The rest of it they could do. But we always talk about how they ate from the wrong tree and how everything's gone wrong and how Jesus needed to come to save us from everything that went wrong. And it's important that we talk about that because that's the gospel. But what we forget about the gospel is Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Because in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, everything is good. God made everything. He looked at it. He said, it's great. I'm happy with this. He probably did a little bit of a dance. He rejoiced because heaven and earth were good. And what we talk about when we talk about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a terrible diversion from the tree we should be talking about, which is the tree of life. God's message, God's gospel, always starts with life. There was a tree of life in Eden. You know, Adam and Eve wouldn't probably, to the best of our understanding, never have died. I know we can't get our heads around that. As it was, there were 900 and odd when Adam did die. I mean, he lived a long time. But he would have renewed his life by eating from the tree of life. But because he sinned, God had mercy on him. God showed love to Adam by stopping his access to the tree of life. And you say, how's that love? Well, if you have sinned and corruption is starting in your body, the last thing you need to do is live forever becoming more and more corrupt. It was mercy that God banned him from Eden. It was the goodness of God that they were kicked out of Eden, because that way God could start putting a plan into effect that would bring permanent salvation and life to the person who had lost access to the tree of life. So really, I don't want to spend a long time talking about death, but death is simply the only other option. If you won't accept access to the tree of life, then death is all that's there for you. If you remember, God gave a cherubim, an angelic creature, a flaming sword, and he stood blocking the way back into Eden. And that isn't because God wanted Adam to not have access to all the wonderful fruit and the wonderful environment. It was because he didn't want Adam and Eve to have access to the tree of life in that place at that time, because there was no way for them to receive a renewal. And this is why the Bible talks about Jesus as the second Adam. You see, the first Adam could not go back in and get access to the tree of life. But the second Adam was the tree of life. Jesus was that tree of life in Eden. And the tree of life has to come to us, because we can't go to it. And that's something about what was read to us today in John's Gospel. When Jesus declares, I am life. I have come to give people life. I've come to give people life to its fullness. That's because Jesus has come to give us access to the tree of life. And if you look at the end of the Bible, Revelation 21:22, it's all about us having access to the tree of life. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God had a plan for us to eat from that tree. We messed that up, but God has got a plan for us to get back to around the tree again. Yeah. And I want you to understand that life was God's plan. Life is God's plan. Jesus is the life. And through Jesus, we get access to the tree of life again. So death is just something that gets in the way. If we won't accept God's free offer of access to the tree of life in Jesus, then death is inevitable. And that death is a spiritual death, a death where we are separate from God. But the truth is that God wants to renew our spirits so that we can live with him and continue to live around the tree of life. So death is just something that happens to us all. But you know, this funeral I'm doing on Tuesday, some people think that ministers' jobs are all about funerals. Well, I'm glad mine isn't. I don't do a lot. But I said to one of Helen's sons, I said, you know, I don't do funerals on demand. I do funerals for people I know. I do funerals for people who have followed Jesus. Because I don't want to stand there and spout out some romantic gibberish about, well, we'll see them again in heaven, when in my heart I have very little assurance of that. But I know I will see Helen again. And Helen said to her son the week before she died, she said, next time I see you, we'll be on the shore. You know, how lovely, how lovely. She asked me to pray with her that she would pass easily and quickly. And I did that. And you know, I thank God that Helen is with the Lord today. But, you know, the gospel, the Christian gospel, the ministry of the church mustn't be about funerals. Oh, God help us. It mustn't be about funerals. It must be about life. Yep. We are offering life to people. Life in all its fullness. Some people think all we're doing is offering a load of do's and don'ts. God help us. Honestly. God help us if we believe that. God has set boundaries for our lives, which are very helpful. Believe me. I meet people all the time that haven't paid the slightest attention to God's boundaries, and I see the mess their lives are in. But you know, when we listen to God and keep within his boundaries, well, life becomes a lot better. And I thank God that Jesus came to give us that life. And Jesus talks about him being a shepherd and coming through the gates into where the sheep are, into the sheep pen. And you know something? The sheep pen, it's just a set of boundaries to protect the sheep. It's not there because God wants to beat them with a stick, because the good shepherd doesn't beat his sheep with a stick. The boundaries are there to help the sheep, to protect the sheep. And we need to talk more about life in our gospel messages than anything else. So you are supposed to live forever. That's the truth. And God has spent the last few thousand years putting a program in place that means we can all live forever. So should we not speak of death then? Well, no, we have to face up to it. And the truth is, we will all go there unless Jesus returns before we die. And do you know what? I also believe we should prepare financially for it. Helen had a funeral plan. So they could do anything. And it's all paid for. And that's really good. But we should also have concern about our families and protect them from various issues. But inside us, we mustn't be preparing for death. We must be preparing for life. Because that's God's plan. So, that's got death out the way, right? So, I want to talk to you about the tree of life. Over the years, I have loads of people have asked me, what was the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Was it an apple tree? You know how people talk about Adam and Eve eating the apple? I mean, that's a load of unbiblical nonsense. It's like there being we three kings of Orientar that we ought to... Last night, we went to this carol service and they sang We Three Kings of Orientar, and I sang We Undeterminate Number of Magi from Iran or Iraq. Yeah. Ah! It didn't fit with the song, with the music though, but all the same. You know, we do sing a bit of drivel from time to time. It's nice to sing it, don't get me wrong. It's a good Christmas song, and the message of it is true, but we have to beware that we mustn't tell people things that are untrue. We must tell them the truth. And what we need to remember is that doesn't matter what the tree of knowledge of good and evil looked like or what fruit it was. You see, it could have been anything. Literally, it was just a designated tree. It was when you eat of the fruit of that tree, it was the eating of a forbidden fruit that was the sin. It wasn't the fruit. The fruit wasn't sinful. It was eating it. It was doing something with something that God had told them not to do something with. That was the sin. And in all my years, nobody has ever asked me what the tree of life looked like. What was that fruit? Nobody has ever asked me in all these years, and there's quite a few under my belt now, and I have to say, why is that? Why is it that no one asks about the tree of life when the tree of life is what God's whole message starts with and ends with, and in the middle, Jesus comes and declares himself as the one that brings life. The tree of life was the defining tree in Eden, not the other one. And we mustn't get out of step with what the Bible says and focus too much on the wrong stuff. I'm not saying you can't talk about it, I can't ask about it. What I'm saying is we need to remember that God's plan was always the tree of life. So, my third point is the tree is looking for you. So, there is no way back into Eden. For Adam's generation and for those that followed him, there was a cherubim with a flaming sword that stopped you going there. When the ark floated on the waters of Noah's flood, then there was no Eden anymore. It had all been washed away. There was no need for a cherubim to be stationed there anymore because there no longer was an Eden. So, are we to believe, therefore, that the tree of life is gone? Well, Revelation tells us that the tree of life is waiting for us. But Jesus declares himself to be life, and all the life we need and all the life we could want. So, I would suggest to you today that the tree of life looks a bit like a cross. I would suggest to you that the tree of life came looking for all of us at a place called Calvary, outside Jerusalem. I would suggest to you that Jesus, our Saviour, who made a covenant with us in his own blood, was nailed to that tree. I would suggest to you that the tree of life came looking for us. You know, the tree of life is looking for you right now. The tree of life wants to embrace us. It wants us to eat and drink from it. Jesus described himself as being manna, as being bread. Jesus said, eat of me. Jesus said, drink of me. Some people were offended by it. Some people didn't cope with it. But this was just the tree of life saying to us, come and eat from me. This is God saying, there was no way back for the tree of life, but I've now made a way, and it's cross-shaped, and I'm going to send the tree of life out looking for you. Which of us who love the Lord and follow Jesus, which of us can say that we went out and looked for him? Because I would suggest to you that in every case, he came looking for us. He left the sheep that were good and came and looked for the one that was lost. Jesus has always been found in places that we happen to be. Jesus made himself known to each one of us, and that way the tree of life found us. And God's pattern of giving life as a preference is something that lives in the cross. You know, I don't want to make the cross out to be something more holy than it is. I mean, I don't have any problems with you wearing a cross round your neck. I don't mind if you have a cross hung in your house. But, you know, there's nothing particularly holy about two bits of wood other than the fact of what it represents. It represents to us a new covenant cut in the body of Jesus Christ. It represents to us God reaching out to us, God reaching out to us, sending the tree of life to chase us down. And you know what? I like the cross because to me, I see the arms of Jesus reaching out to embrace me. I see the tree of life coming to me and saying, eat of me. Eat of me. I will give you life. You know, Psalm 23 ends with, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I always think of goodness and mercy as welcome stalkers. They are chasing me down. Wherever I walk, goodness and mercy are walking behind me, but they're speeding up, you know? You know that when you walk down the street alone at night and you can hear someone walking behind you and you walk a bit faster and then they walk a bit faster. You know that, don't you? We've all had that feeling. It's a slightly unpleasant feeling. But Psalm 23 says that in your life, when you can hear footsteps chasing behind you, don't worry, because it's goodness and mercy. God's mercy, God's goodness. It's the tree of life chasing you down. The tree of life is after you to get you, to embrace you, to give you life, to give you what God had always intended in Eden, that he is going to give us in the new Eden, in the new heavens and the new earth. In Revelation 21 and 22, we are going to meet the tree of life for ourselves. And then we will be sustained forever. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I don't know what you're like, but sometimes in our house, we sit there and think, well, I don't know what we should eat today to be different. I do make a lot of chilies. We can't have chili every day, can we? Our default dish in our house is Mum's lasagna. But you can't live off Mum's lasagna forever. You want something. You want something fresh, something different. You know, if all else fails, we nip out and get a Chinese takeaway. But do you know what? The tree of life will never become stale. It will never become boring. Remember, for 40 years, the Israelites ate manna. And it was like wafers made with honey. It melted in the mouth. It was, oh, it was great. It was absolutely great. And the tree of life tastes better. And this is why we say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because he tastes better than anything else. And spiritually, in our lives, we just need to get back to the tree of life. Because we will be sustained by it. Are you with me?
Yes.
Good. So my next point is back to the tree. Revelation 22, verse 1. Then he showed me the river of living water, sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the broad street of the city. On both sides of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for healing the nations, and there will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night will no longer exist, and people will not need lamplight or sunlight, because the Lord will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Imagine this, a place, a glorious place, a place that you cannot really describe in a human language, a place which has a river flowing through it, and either side of the river is the tree of life. Now, I think about this, I think, hang on a minute, surely the tree of life must be at one side of the river, or it must be at the other. No. You see, rivers, to us, in this life, cut us off from things, don't they? It's why we build bridges. But you see, the river that flows from God doesn't cut us off from anything, because the tree of life grows on both sides. There is access to life on both sides of that river. There will never be anything again that cuts us off from life. Nothing will ever come between you and God. Nothing will ever come between you and living exuberantly, excitedly, powerfully, and wonderfully. Nothing will ever do that, because the tree of life grows on both sides of the river. It's one tree, but it grows on both sides. This was always God's plan. Remember the thief who dies with Jesus? And Jesus says to him, today you will be with me in paradise. Remember that? That's a promise even to people that have been very, very naughty indeed. People who will only get sacks of coal this Christmas. The promise is believe in me, and you will be with me in paradise. What does Revelation say about this? Chapter 2, verse 7, it says, anyone who has got an ear, so if you've only got one ear today, if you've got one, just hear this one thing. This is what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I will give the victor the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Jesus invites us to live with him in paradise. And that's where the tree of life is. That's where Jesus is. That's where the tree of life is. And can I say to you, that's what makes it paradise. The tree of life makes it paradise. When we think of paradise, generally, when people are talking about a paradise, they will use euphemisms that refer to Eden. Oh, Eden, oh, that was paradise. Oh, we were talking about a future time when man will live in paradise, in an Eden-like place. But we need to remember that paradise is where the tree of life is. And where the tree of life is, Jesus is. Going back to the tree is not going back to Eden. It's going back to the tree itself. It's not a matter of going back in time to a better place. It's a matter of moving forward in time with the tree of life to a better place. And whether that is paradise, and it is paradise because the tree of life is there, or whether Jesus returns beforehand and then takes us to the tree of life. Either way, our future is a place where we will be sustained forever. And that's why hell is so horrible, because you'll never ever have access to the tree of life. Do you get that?
Yeah.
That's why there will be nothing there to sustain them. In heaven, in paradise, we will be sustained forever by the tree of life. So I hope that in this series, you've seen a number of things with me that will help you understand key words. They're all on the internet. You can download them, listen to them again. But this morning, I just want to ask you this one thing. Are you allowing the tree of life to chase you down? Are you allowing the tree of life to embrace you? Are you prepared to eat from him and drink from him? Are you prepared to be sustained by him? You know, it sounds a bit weird, but I think there's such a thing as a good death. And I've seen so many Christians now die good deaths. And you know, it's a good thing to pass from this life to a place where you are entirely sustained forever by the tree of life. How could we not rejoice in such a thing? Why should we always want to be healed, to live here forever? I don't think I'm ready to go just yet. If something came upon me right now, I think I'd want to be healed. But do you know what? I know that the tree of life is great. And I want to be with that tree. That tree is Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? This morning I just want to say to you, are you fully engaged with the tree of life? Are you fully engaged with God's plan? Or are you overwhelmed by the issues of sin and depravity in the earth and corruption? Are those things filling your mind? Or is your mind full of hope for the tree of life? I just want us to have a few seconds just to be quiet and just to think this through. I'd like us to adjust our thinking today and move it back from Genesis 3 to Genesis 1. Yeah? So let's just take a moment just to think about this, and then I'm going to pray for you. Father, we thank you for the gospel of good news. The good news is there's a tree of life again. There is access to the tree of life. Lord, will you help us, each one of us, to remind ourselves and to focus on the right tree? Help us to focus on living rather than on dying. May our hope and our intention for this life be to live well and to die well and then to live forever in the shady area under that tree of life. Will you help us, Lord? And today, might we all be renewed physically, mentally, and spiritually as we draw near to Jesus, our tree of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you.